Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and I was just prior to the show listening to some newscasts, and I thought, my goodness, if we buy into everything that people are promoting, we might as well throw everything to the ethers and say, forget it, we'll just sit in our little pity pots and not do anything. There's nothing worth doing. Well, I've got news for you. My guest today interviewed 100 people, people that not only see the future in a different light, but people who are about making the future different. They're doing something today. They're doing something now. My guest, William Murtha, he is the founder of Global Visionaries Project. And he decided he was going to do this. We'll hear his story in just a second. But I want you to know, for those of you who are listening, there is the opportunity of now. And you are just as important as any of these people that we're going to be talking about today. And who you are and what you are makes a difference. But you need to know there's a lot of good people out there that are thinking the right thoughts and are putting their action out. So they're demonstrating what it is that they believe can change the environment of life for the better around the world. William Murtha, you're in England. I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you very much, Donna.
It's a delight having you. I was telling you just before we went on air that I was really impressed with all of the people that you interviewed. You definitely are a man with a mission, and I was quite interested in the fact that you had a near-death experience, and that changed your attitude about life. Talk to us a little bit about why you felt that this mission of yours is so important, and tell us a little bit about your near-death experience, too.
I mean, the near-death came at a time in 99 when I was a high-powered executive for a big European company. And I was traveling a lot and working 16-hour days. And it's amazing how life just seems to give you these experiences, you know, a near death, which completely alters the way you look at the world. And, you know, your priorities change and suddenly you gain more meaning. And what it did for me, it started me to sort of take seriously all the things that were happening in the world rather than being a bit player. You know, you want to play a bigger part. And I just started to basically, it was like taking the sunglasses off and starting to see the world as it really was. And, it's an amazing change experience.
Now, you decided you were going to take on the task of interviewing 100 individuals. And we're going to be talking about some of these individuals. But first, I wanted to know, how many people did you actually appeal to? And what was your format? What was it that you did that they decided they'd respond to you?
I started going to a lot of conferences for the International IONS, you know, the Noetic Sciences in Petaluma in California, and lots of other groups that were around the world. And I went to these conferences and met all these phenomenal people like Francis Small-Epay and David Corton and Neil Donald Walsh and, you know, all these amazing people that seemed to be doing extraordinary things in a very humble way. And I was just blown away with how this sort of tapestry, this jigsaw, was all building of people that were going against what was happening on the 6 o'clock news. And they were doing their own thing in a very quiet way, off the radar. And it was just sort of, I leaped from one group to another and just found, you know, turning these stones over, all these amazing people were there.
Now, you sent out a particular request. He said you wanted to know what 5 books, poems, or songs had most inspired these individuals, and you wanted about 100 words from them, not a whole bunch, that would give a message to people. And that's what your book, 100 Words 200 visionaries. 100 words. I said 100 visionaries. I was wrong. It's 200 visionaries. How long did it take you to get all of this put together?
The whole project, the Global Visionaries Project, took 4 years. Mm-hmm. And in between working as well, and working till 1-2 o'clock in the morning, you know, I'd be working for, I was working for a football club, Chelsea Football Club, one of the biggest football clubs in the world. And in the evening, I would start about 7 o'clock till 1-2 in the morning. And luckily, you know, America was so many hours behind the UK. So I managed to connect with people through Skype and through email. And it was just this amazing 4-year period of linking up with everybody.
Incredible. Let's talk about some of the people that you have in your book. We've got Jane Goodall, Terry Williams, you have Lynn McTaggart, you have Neil Donald Walsh, you have William Bloom, and the list goes on and on, obviously 200 people. I have the book in front of me, and I would love to talk about Bill Drayton. Who is Bill Drayton for my listeners? And what is he doing?
Oh, well, Bill Drayton is, he coined, he's one of the sort of the first social entrepreneurs, and he founded an organization called Ashoka. And basically what Bill believes in is that, you know, great companies and great businesses come out when you start looking at social enterprise, as in, you know, community groups and groups that are really looking at building in an ethic and an ethos into their mission statement. And what I really liked about Bill is that he's one of those sort of pioneers in his field.
And he made a statement that the world has embarked on its biggest architectural change since the agricultural revolution's tiny surplus freed only a small elite. And he has a statement in here, everyone is a change maker. And he's very supportive of entrepreneurs. And I really think that is where the real movement is. And when you look at any nation throughout the world historically, those movers and shakers have been the ones that have dared to stick their necks out. And they said, we can do this. And they do go about the business of doing, not just talking. They're not politicians. They're about actually making things work. So he had some excellent commentary. Let's talk about Miriam Kennett. She is involved in green economics. She's quite an interesting lady. Let's talk about her for a moment.
I mean, Miriam is, she's had a lot to do with the United Nations and an organization called the Green Economics Institute. And what she's doing amongst a lot of people in the U.S., like Paul Hawking and Amy Lovins and all these wonderful people, is she's starting to run workshops and classes, and she's on an awareness mission of education, trying to get people to look more deeply at the economics of change and the economics of learning about the environment and ecology and how it actually all fits into the jigsaw, and she's an extraordinary woman.
Now, she talks about how in India she traveled there, and when she was quite young, and she had met a young boy begging on the streets, and his parents had actually cut his legs off so that he could beg for more money. And he was on a skateboard, and that is just beyond most of our comprehension. Who would take their child, cut their legs off so they could be a beggar? And she said she wanted to change the economic system. And she said it is being able to provide the opportunity so people can be self-sufficient and self-sustaining within economies that otherwise would not promote that. That is a phenomenal objective, and it's fascinating to read about her. Let's also talk about Howard Gardner. This is a man who, interestingly enough, he's written, what, over 20 books? And he talks about multiple intelligences. What attracted you to Howard Gardner? And did you have a chance to meet him?
Well, I didn't meet Howard. I met a lot of the people in the books, but you know, I linked up with Howard and with great technology. And you know what he's looking at, he's one of them pioneers that is looking at sort of breaking the barriers of science. You know, just as the guys at the Institute of Noetic Sciences in California are, you know, they're bringing really grounded, pragmatic scientists who are beginning to peep over the edge and realize that, you know, science is not quite what we thought it was. It's a lot more infinite. There's a lot more to it. And Howard has got this idea of, you know, intelligences, that each human being is unique, and we can't keep putting them in little brackets. That they break out a lot more than traditional psychology would have you believe.
Martha Farnsworth Riche. Is it pronounced Rich or Riche or Reich?
Riche, yeah. Yeah,
Riche.
Martha, yeah.
Okay. It's R-I-C-H-E. Now, this woman was interesting to me because she used to be the director of the U.S. Census Bureau up until 1998, and it's just fascinating how this is a woman that is very comfortable dealing with statistics and numbers, and yet she feels that it's so important to be mindfully present and work together, work in cooperation. What was it about Martha that really made you feel like she needed to be included in this 200?
I think what I wanted to do, Donna, really, was get people from all walks of life, from all academic backgrounds and all different religious beliefs. You know, I wanted all these people with different ideas. But what amazed me, people like Martha, you know, they're very academically minded, but what they said in their vision statement, their 100 words, was profound, because you realize that a lot of people that probably don't usually wear it on their sleeve have mm-hmm. often got a deep spiritual soul essence about them. And it can be, you know, it was enlightening to sort of see that amongst her and many others.
You also have someone in your own area of the world, David Fontana. He's written over 40 books. Tell us about David Fontana. Were you able to meet him, since he is right in the UK? Did you have a chance
yeah,
to
David Fontana,
talk to this
I've met
man?
Him. Yeah, he's part of a big group of people that are looking at science and how science is changing. And again, you know, someone like David is part of a lot of organizations. He's written, you know, many great papers and books on psychology, religion, spirituality. He's talked about the afterlife from a very academic point of view and how people are waking up to that in more ways than ever before. And again, I just love these sometimes academic ways of people opening up the barriers and stretching their, you know, their mind.
I agree with that. For you, because of all of this research, and this involved 4 years of your life, in addition to working a regular job, when you were receiving this information from them, and you would open up the envelope or an email from these people, how had you set up a file? How did you feel as you started seeing this information coming to you? What did that make you feel like?
Oh, it makes your heart sing, because you realize that no matter how much negative news we see on the 6 o'clock show, you know, every evening, that there's these amazing people out there that gave their, you know, these, a lot of the 200 people that are in the book, it was like trying to hit a moving target. You know, a lot of them, give you an example, Jane Goodall, she spends 300 days a year traveling, you know, away from mm-hmm. home. And a lot of the people in the book are like that. And when they decided to, you know, as busy as they were, give their time and attention to spending weeks, you know, on and off to trying to put this thing together. This isn't something that somebody put together in 5 minutes. They often gave it a great amount of thought and attention. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I loved that, because they really showed their commitment to the project and believed in it.
Well, I can totally understand why it would have been very inspiring to you, because the different paradigms of thought that were presented made you realize that they tried to, within a very small amount of space, 100 words, some of them had a little bit more than that, but in general, 100 words, they were very succinct in what they had to say, which I think is very impressive. You mentioned Jane Goodall. Let's talk about this woman who I just have such a deep respect for, because she has had an impact on people's thinking, on their understanding of life in such a marvelous way. And, of course, her warnings and her concerns that she put out many years ago, they're very definitely there today, and they're very much more visible. But because of her and her dedication, people have sort of picked up the baton and have chosen to carry on. And here she is, like you said, 300 days a year. That's mind-boggling. That is absolutely amazing to be on the road that much. The connection with Jane Goodall, how did that evolve for you?
Jane was someone I had on my radar through the connections I had at the United Nations Environmental Programme in Paris. And it's amazing how, you know, I talked about this, how I found and come up to the list of 200. Well, you know, what I found amongst different organisations and groups, changemaker, progressive groups, was that the same names would always crop up. And Jane Goodall, of all the people on board with the book, I think her name was probably the name that cropped up the most. And, I know the UN Secretary General, Kofi Annan, the former Secretary, along with today's Secretary General, Ban Ki-moon, they have a lot of time for her, and they made her a messenger of peace. And, what this incredible woman in her belief of humanity's potential and what we can do and where we should be going, and her attention to animals, I haven't met anyone that is better fixed for working for the United Nations.
I agree. In fact, I want to quote something that Jane Goodall put in the 100 words that she sent to William. "We must realize that each of us makes a difference every single day. We must buy ethical products, support socially and environmentally conscious politicians, walk our talk. Together, we can change the world. And that's the truth. And we don't have to use guns to do it. We can change the world, but each and every individual has that opportunity because it is electric." And that is what I think Jane has been so good at demonstrating. Now, Nicola Giogoli, now I didn't pronounce it right, I'm sure, but correct me, this is an individual who's the founder of EcoAge Limited. Let's talk about Nicola, and give me the correct pronunciation of his name.
I wish I knew.
No, <it's...
laughs> I'm not going to pretend I know how to pronounce it. Nicola is an amazing guy. I mean, you know, he's based in London, and he's the founder of EcoAge, and he's one of these younger, because the follow-up book's going to be Young Visionaries. Book, which is going to be people between the ages of 15 and 30. And what Nicola embodies for me is this young generation of change makers and luminaries and innovators that are coming through. These kids, you know, some of these kids are coming through with intuition and ethos and ethic that is already embodied within them. They're not being corrupted by the sort of the status quo. And Nicola is one of those people that just really believes in the future and really is just taking a project, going for it, and bringing something good to the world. And I think, you know, that needs to be celebrated for someone so young.
I agree. He said, "The year just gone has seen our nightmares come true, our strength tested. It's incumbent that we find more sustainable models, systems, and economies. I'm not just talking about the climate issue. I'm talking about social, political, and at root it's a matter of survival." And he goes on a little bit more. He said, "I want future generations to remember a moment of ordinary people, not visionaries, who gathered together to turn a seemingly hopeless situation into the roots of a new star." And I agree with you about many in the younger generation. There are so many of the younger generation that are saying, what's going on doesn't work. And do you know, I think in part, William, that has evolved because we have things like the internet. we are not in such an isolated world. We have things that go around the globe sometimes within an hour. It's incredible. And good, bad, or indifferent, that opportunity is there. And there are so many young people that are standing up and saying, we can do this, why don't we just try it? And they've got the YouTube, and they're just out there doing whatever they can. So I agree with Nicola. I think that there is that environment that is going to be supported, and those that are mature can be demonstrating their willingness to step up and to be responsible and to be a good example for the younger generation. And I think with your book, 100 Words, 200 Visionaries, that's something that is so significant, because you have all of these mature individuals ranging in age from maybe late 20s all the way up until their 70s. And here are these people out there living what they believe can make this world better, and each of them doing their own piece of the action in the best way possible. And that's what it takes.
I think as well, Donna, is that we mentioned about visionaries teaching a lot of our young. I think there's a lot of people like Nicola and John Robbins' son, you know, John Robbins of the Baskin Robbins Ice Cream Foundation, you know,
mm-hmm.
Ocean Robbins, who've set up the magazine. You know, these youngsters are often teaching us older people as well, I think.
I think so. I think it's an ongoing phase of learning. You had Patrick Holford, and you said he's one of Britain's best-selling authors and leading spokesperson on nutrition, food, environment, and health issues. Tell us about Patrick.
He has been around. He's one of these people that's been working tirelessly off the radar. Like a lot of these visionaries, you know, they're not in the limelight or the spotlight and working for the ego, and, you know, they're quietly working, beavering away behind the scenes, working at what they believe in. And, you know, he's been doing this for 25 years. You know, 1984, he founded the Institute of Optimum Nutrition. And it's an educational trust that's all about teaching people a better idea and education in nutrition. And, you know, regardless of what you might read in the papers, you know, these sort of organizations such as Patrick's are just teaching us the facts that we want to know about our foods and what foods we should be having and what foods we shouldn't be having. And, you know, what I love is these people do this out of, you know, they could have gone on to a different career, often with earning a lot more salary, and yet they go with their heart and they work on a scheme which becomes their life's work, often for a salary that is a lot less than would be in another industry.
That's true. And he said, and I believe this, he said, the new science of optimum nutrition, taking into account our genetic uniqueness and treating not with drugs but personalized diet and nutritional supplements, is the new paradigm in medicine. And I've been talking about that for over 20 years.
Yeah.
And saying that this is what's going to come up, because so many times, I think there have been a gazillion diet books that have been put out there. And you'll have people that will follow a program, and they'll say, but it's not working for me. And somebody says, oh, well, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, they have a different metabolic patterning. Their body genetically may work differently. Some people work great with carbohydrates. Other people are terrible with it. Some people need a balance of all the above. And it's a fascinating pattern, and I think that he is definitely ahead of the curve on this. And in Britain, when he is involved with this, this must have really been quite a revolutionary level of thought. And I would think that in today's world, he'd be much more successful at promoting this than he was in the past.
I mean, that's what's happened with Patrick, and obviously lots of other people, is, you know, and Howard Gardner's the same. You know, these people have worked tirelessly through times when the world appeared to be going okay, and nobody was really looking at these innovative sort of new changemaker programs and schemes and initiatives and workshops. And the great thing is that these people are bubbling back up to the surface, and their great work and their teaching is coming to the fore, where we can start to embody it and take it on board, which I think is very positive for the future.
Now, I wanted to talk about John and Zaina Lamond. This is a couple that I think, and they're in Scotland, and they have got a wonderful school of professional therapy education, but they are also involved with helping people become writers. They're quite interesting as a couple. How did you come to know them?
Oh, I met John and Zaina through my editor of my previous book, Dying for Change. And John and Zaina are just two of them people that came from very ordinary, like a lot of us, very ordinary backgrounds. And then they started to see the human potential in writing and what writing as a therapy could do for people's lives. You know, often people don't want to express their emotions to friends or family, and sometimes they might just want to journal and to write through, basically write through their pain. And they really, through their teaching, I started to look at people like Kathleen Adams and others that are the world specialist in using writing as a therapy. You know, it doesn't work for everyone, and it's not a fix and solution, but it's something that a lot of people get a lot out of, because they can express themselves on paper in their own space, which is secure. And that's what John and Zaina are looking at, and it's great practice. I've seen it operate, and I've been in one of their workshops, and it is powerful stuff.
Now, you have a mother and daughter. You have Anna Lapp and Frances Moore Lapp, and they are very, very interesting people. Anna is a television personality. She's also written a best-selling book. And her mother has been a writer also, and she has a $3 million copy bestseller, Diet for a Small Planet, that she put together. Wow, what a family. Tell us about mother and daughter.
Amazing. I mean, Frankie Morlepe, the mother, I met her in Dubrovnik in Croatia in Europe a few years back on a Institute of Noetic Sciences conference, and I mean, amazing woman. I mean, 1971, you know, she produced this bestseller, Diet for a Small Planet, which basically talks about how we need to change our diet to suit a planet that is going to be at 12 billion people by the end of the century, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And total visionary, you know, someone who can really see the roadmap of where it's going if we don't change and what we need to do as a solution. You know, these people are just, they're inspired. There's something about it. And to see her talking to people at this conference, where she loves to engage with everyday people from everyday Main Street, you know, these people are blessed, I think.
I agree. Now, I know we're getting close to the end of our time, but I wanted to mention Scott London. But before I do that, I want to say that with Frankie, as you called her nickname, she said, we need to remember, she said, often she opened up with her 100 words to you. People often ask, what do I matter? I'm just a drop in the bucket. But she said, the problem isn't being a drop, for buckets fill up pretty fast on rainy nights. She said, we need to discover our power, and then what glorious drops we then become. I love her way of using words. It's absolutely marvelous. Scott London. Let's talk about Scott for a moment.
I mean, Scott is, I think, has been doing a lot of similar to what I've been doing, similar to what people like Michael Toms at New Dimension does, similar to yourself, Donna, and Pat Raskin. You know, we're sort of these sort of engine houses of bringing together all these visionaries in one place. You know, we know the benefits of writing about them and interviewing and bringing them on shows. And Scott was similar. And again, he's a visionary that's seen this and see where we were going and seeing where we need to go in the future. And he's someone else who's written and met and interviewed many, many visionaries around the world.
100 words, 200 visionaries who share their hope for the future. William Murtha has put this together. The cover is lovely. It has origami on the front of birds free-flying. And, William, it has just been a pleasure having you as a guest on the show. And I would like people to know about your website, where they can find out more about you, because though you are in England, you're still, because of the magic of technology, very much available. People can reach you. What is your website, William?
Yeah, the website is www.williammurtha, which is MURTHA.com, and you can go there, and the book's available at all good bookstores as well.
William, thank you so very much for being my guest. I wish you continued success, and I'm just so pleased that you took 4 years of your life to gather this together. It's a wonderful book and something you could read a page a night, and it would be very inspiring.
Lovely. Thank you, Donna, and good luck with the show.
Thank you so much. This is Donna Sebo. Go to williammurtha.com. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Sorry for a little bit of the delay there, but we're back on, and I want you to know that telephone lines are open, so you can call in and chat with me, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And if you've not chatted with me before, if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I would be delighted to do exactly that. All I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, I will give you my impressions. Of course, I always like to know where you're calling in from as well. So do give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Also, if you have had a paranormal experience, I would very much like to have you send me an email regarding it, because I'm putting a book together. I'm wanting to collect 100 stories from people that have had experiences and just be able to put them together in this book. So maybe someone who is looking for information about communicating with animals or a near-death experience or a ghost story, send it to me. And in that way, then I'm going to be able to put it in this book. And, of course, we'll need your contact information. But send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, International.com. I'm giving myself a year to collect the 100 stories. We've got about 25 right now, and I'd love to include yours in it. So do send it along. And be sure you put in the subject line, story for Donna's book, or the Donna Sebo Show, or something like that that I see as a tag, because I get so many emails daily that I will just appreciate if you do that for me, because it enables me to spot your information quickly. Okay, again, telephone number to call in to 888-815-9756. There are so many things going on in the world today, and sometimes we wonder, as we were discussing with my guest, is there something that I can do? Is there anything where I can have an impact and make a difference? And the answer is yes, if you'll start just right where you are. Sometimes we think we've got to do something phenomenally grandiose. Well, you never know. It could end up going that direction. But most people basically start out right where they are, right in their own communities. You have reading programs for kids. You've got all kinds of community programs for young people all the way up to the elderly. And all of these things are valuable. If you love animals, there's all kinds of animal groups that would love to have your support. If you like working with kids, you've got that. If you enjoy working with the elderly, that's important too. Now, we have it in our family. We have a gentleman who is in his 80s. And for years, he's worked with veterans, widows. And what he's done is that he'll go out to their homes and help them go through all of the papers and processing that they need to do, let's say, so they can maybe be buried with a military funeral. Or he said they get, sometimes they are just in such deep grief that they don't realize what they need to do. And he goes out and he does this as a volunteer. He said this is his way of giving back to the world. And Joe will just go out and do this. And he said it's so rewarding and so satisfying because it helps the families. And he said it's just something that he feels very satisfied about. And he's been doing this like for 20 years. And here he is in his 80s doing it just as much as he did it in his 60s. When he retired, he said that he wanted to do something that was going to make a difference. Now, maybe he's not going to be written up in the New York Times or any major publication, but I guarantee you that a lot of people really appreciate him. And the thing is that if you want to do something, you need to really examine what means the most to you. If you're someone who's like a teacher or someone that is just wanting maybe to work in gardening, I mean, there is no end to what you can do. If you like research, if you love astronomy, there are all kinds of organizations and environments that you can become involved with. And you may not think that you're very significant, but you are. All of us do make a difference. But when we do what means most to us, and when we do it from what I call the heart part of us, and it's something that brings us satisfaction, that brings us pleasure, you're going to come out way, way ahead. I know of people that like to work in gardening facilities. And they just have a blast. They absolutely love it. So whatever it is that rings your chime, so to speak, maybe it's becoming the best brownie baker in the world. I don't know, but go for what it is that means the most to you. It is so significant and so absolutely important. You just never know how you're going to be in the right place at the right time doing what needs to be done. And I'm going to be chatting with you perhaps sometime this week about a woman who has been a guest on my show. Her name is Betty Tisdale. Her story is absolutely incredible. She's in her late 80s, and this woman still travels the world making a difference in the lives of children that I believe it's Vietnam that she has spent a great deal of time with. And the stories, I was just sent this by a very good friend of hers recently, and Mary Ellen said, you need to know what has been happening to this woman with children whose lives she affected, and now they're mature adults. It's absolutely amazing. You never know what ripple of result is going to come around to you. You can make a difference. I was talking with someone earlier, And there's an individual that we know of that has just gotten themselves into such a series of problems. And we were commenting on this, and we were saying, what a shame. Why did this individual end up creating such pandemonium and such negativity? You could call it ignorance. But there were a lot of variables that were involved. The thing is that this person had literally shot themselves in the foot, not with a 45, but with a shotgun. And the thing is, it has created such a bad scene for them. They didn't have their thinking in the right place. Remember, you can make a difference. You do make a difference by the way you think, by the way you conduct yourself, by being that person you are and honoring your talents, your gifts, and the greatness that is within you. So I'm so pleased that William Murtha, his book, 100 Words, 200 Visionaries, I'll tell you, we need to read things like this. We need to remember that we do make a difference, and you don't have to have garbage in your life. You can set the bar for yourself, and you can reach for that bar, and you can be an example to the people that are around you. You can make a difference. It's time we start thinking and reasoning and getting to the root cause of such issues as we're dealing with today on multiple levels, and get over the games that people play, and let's really make things happen. It really works. It's just absolutely amazing. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. And I'd be delighted to chat with you and light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Do you have a favorite time of the day? I'm a morning person. I always have been. I think one of my most pleasurable memories, especially when I was young, was when my family was driving across country. We'd have to be up at 3 in the morning. I know a lot of you would groan at that. But by the time we got out and we had breakfast, we'd be driving along the road. We'd see sunrises that were just breathtaking. And we'd often stop in these little cafes. Then the smell of freshly brewed coffee and bacon and pancakes being made, it was just something that was just invigorating. It was so quiet, too. It was just a beautiful, beautiful time of the day, and it's just something that I have always enjoyed. Well, if you're a morning person, they've done some studies. Ah, yes, we've got somebody, Carolyn Shore. She's got a website, nightowlnet.com. She said, when you find out what your time clock is and when you really are at your best, that's when you're going to find out more about who you are. Well, if you're a morning lark, if you're a person that really doesn't need an alarm clock in the morning because you wake up, you're ready to go, well, you're a born problem solver. That's right. You're a person that the early birds are able to work through problems systematically until they solve them, and you like being independent. You like doing your tasks solo, because you come up with your best ideas when you have time and quiet. So if you're one of these people, it's an early riser like I am, if you sort of get sluggish in the afternoon, sort of say, oh, I really don't know, I'm getting sort of sleepy here, get up and move. That's right. Have a 10 or 15 minute walk during your sleepy time. If it's between 5 and 6 p.m., get going, but you're going to find that your idea processing and your mind processing is going to pick up. Now, if you're a person that really likes to, let's say maybe it's more an intermediate time, you usually feel drowsy by the time the local evening news comes on, but you adapt to schedules easily, and you usually wake up between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m. and go to bed between 11:30 and midnight. You're a flexible person. You really have a lot of flexibility. You are not afraid of new opportunities. You like to get adventure out of life. And you sometimes are predisposed to a late afternoon slump, but you need to do something that requires what you'd call no brain activity, like doodling, just doing something. Again, maybe get up and take a walk. Do something where you don't have to intellectualize about it, and you're going to do just fabulously. If you're that night owl, you are creative and also independent. You like being up later in the day. My husband is one of those people. Being a night owl is his preference. Your creative high is at night, and your physical stamina improves as your day goes on. It usually peaks around, actually, 9 in the evening. So you have a particular part of your physiology that performs intellectual tasks long after early birds like me run out of steam. So the big thing is, if you're a night owl, you need to have a consistent sleeping and waking schedule so that you can really do what you need to do for yourself. But you just are one of those people. I just thought I would share that with you. Do you know what, according to research, 60% of us are intermediates, 25% are night owls, and 15% are morning larks. There I go again, being in a minority. Well, I've always been called an oddball, but I like morning lark better. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Now, I want to let you know who's coming on the show with me tomorrow. It's Susan Elliott. We're going to be talking about relationships, getting past your breakup. Boy, that's like a death, isn't it, when you break up with someone? Depending on how strong the relationship was, sometimes it doesn't make any difference. Usually, if you're the one doing the breaking up, it's a lot easier than the one that's being told that you're going to be breaking up with them. But I guess that's all perspective, too. But Susan's going to give us some wonderful tips on that. And then on the 27th, we're going to be talking with Gary Rieswig. Now, Gary was scheduled to be on the air with me this past Friday. And he was in New York, and something happened, and we weren't able to connect, but he's going to be on Thursday. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking about Overcomers, Inc., true stories about people that have overcome phenomenal circumstances. Lynn Clapel is going to be my guest. And then, of course, on the 31st, which is Memorial Day, we're going to be talking about Sooner or Later, Restoring Sanity to End-of-Life Care. Dimano Icovozzi is going to be my guest, and we're going to be discussing that. And, of course, that is a major holiday, and we are going to be having phone lines open on all of those days, but also on Memorial Day. So everything is going to be live, and we invite you to share the information with your friends. And, hey, give us a call. Participate. Again, the number, 888-815-9756. By the way, there are some shows that I am going to be appearing on, and I will be putting that in my newsletter that will be coming out on the 1st of June. And you'll be notified about all of these different appearances, and these will be shows that will be on at different times in different parts of the country. So So it'll be Nashville. We've got something in California and just a number of other things. So you will be made aware of that via my newsletter. So if you would like to get the newsletter for free, all you have to do is send me an email, Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and say, Donna, add me to your email list and put in the email address that you'd like for me to use. Colonoscopies. Boy, that has been a real hot topic for the last few years, but it is not a procedure that one should take lightly, because you really have to know that the person that's going to be doing that on you is really knowledgeable and skilled. And I've known some people that have had some negative effects by having a colonoscopy, even having something punctured. So these are things that you need to be aware of. Well, because of this being a concern, especially with so many people living a lot longer than our parents and grandparents have lived, then this is something that is, if dependent on your dietary patterns and your genetic patterns, that they say we've got to do something about. Well, 40% of Americans over the age of 50 do not get screened for colon cancer. Why? Because the scoping procedure, and you have to fast, you have to go through cleansing things, and they have to give you anesthesia, is extremely unpopular. People will do anything to avoid that. And I can't say that I blame them, because I'm pretty much of that mindset myself. So what if someone could swallow a camera-carrying pill, one that beams back images to the doctor's computer? That's right. Sounds like sci-fi stuff, but it's coming out. So the question is, would the less fuss, less muss approach bump up screening rates for the disease that's the number two cancer killer? Well, already it's being used to view the esophagus and small intestine, and they feel that the pill is actually a good step. Now, Sherman Chamberlain, a physician who is a Georgia gastroenterologist, has been testing the device, and they say that it is working, and it has already been accepted in Europe. So these are things that people are coming up with. And I don't know, you're going to have some kind of a trap in the toilet to make sure the pill doesn't float away with everything else. But it is something that is going to be quite significant. This is very, very real. And again, it's sort of sci-fi sounding, but it is out there. And I think that in many instances, I know of someone who's a friend of the family, and she is in her late 70s, and they put her through a particular process, and she said it was very, very uncomfortable, but they did discover that she was fine and she was healthy, but they found some polyps and that type of thing, and they were able to remove them because of that while they were doing the process. So there's some pluses and minuses, but this is something that could ensure health, and people that maybe have Crohn's disease and other things, this might be a benefit in being able to diagnose and detect things. But you know what, folks? An ounce of prevention prevents 10 pounds of, or a gazillion pounds, or should I say $20,000 plus of cure. Remember, you can keep yourself good and healthy if you have enough of fiber in your diet, and you just include that on a regular basis. There's all kinds of ways of doing it. Do your homework so that you keep your innards flowing and healthy the way they're supposed to be, regardless of age. Gaming. Are you into games? Well, a lot of people are. And there is a researcher, Jane McGonigal. She is the director of game research and development at the Institute of Future in Palo Alto, California. She said, we have got a big draw for gamers, and it is good deeds. Now, players are going to be undertaking missions to help others. You'll input your location, and a ground crew will suggest you spend your extra time watering a local garden. She said, I'm working on a game in which ordinary people even attempt to solve problems like hunger, poverty, and disease. And winners will be those who've completed missions in poorer countries like Kenya or Mexico. Top players will go to Washington to share their visions for the future. Wow. I wonder if they could do something like that regarding the oil spill that has occurred. the BP oil spill. There's got to be a way of stopping things like this so that they don't go on forever. Well, my goodness, we are out of time. This is Donna Sebo. I'm so delighted you've been able to be with us today. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You are a problem solver. You are a person that is dealing with what I feel is the opportunity of a lifetime. And that is to take the moment now and to ask yourself, what would you really like to be a part of? What would you like to be involved with, where you can bring your talent to the table and make a difference in this experience we call life? This is Donna Sebo. Have a fabulous evening. Talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.